Thank you for tuning in to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. At the end of the sermon, information will be given of our church's location, phone number, web address, and an opportunity to get this sermon in its entirety. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." Now let's go to the sermon of the week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy. Be blessed.
About a life in the Word of God. I know that we really embrace this thing well, because I mean, I think it's self-explanatory in terms of what the theme implies, that there's death everywhere, but there's life that God give us in the Word of God, that whatever fails, whatever falls, we always have a remedy in the Word of God. Amen. And then to show that, let me just start with this text that we read from. It says, "I want to set the record straight that I have given you the gift of choice. I set before you life and death, blessings and curses." And then he says, "Choose life." It's powerful because the Lord gives us a test, and then he gives us the answer, gives us a quiz, then he gives us the answer to the quiz. He says, "I want you to choose, make this choice." And I challenge you that there are many people today that really struggle with making the choice of life. You know, it's interesting to me, you know, I've been saved since I was 18 years old. You know, it's interesting when I'm talking to someone about being saved, whenever the person says, "I'm not sure if I really want to be saved or not." Amen. Or, "I don't want to make that choice right now." You know, but that is a choice of life and death. I think I was sharing that missionary Lynn and I were talking. She was in my office the other day, and we were talking, and she was just so excited about life and about the Lord. And she's the one that said, you know, if I wasn't saved, he said, "I would think logically, if I tried to reason through it intellectually," she said, "I would arrive at a conclusion that it makes greater sense to be saved than to not be saved. I would choose logically to be saved." If it's certainly knowing what you know now, but the challenge I have with that is, you know, if you attempt to convey that, you know, and that's really my testimony as well, because those are people that like to assess things and sort of reason through and apply logic to stuff. You know, knowing what you know now, as a saved person, it would make sense to be saved. But the reason why it makes sense to the saved person, because you're saved. Amen? Because you know the Lord. You have a relationship with him. Amen? But the person that's never tried him, their mindset is completely different. They believe that they're where they are because of themselves. The God factor is not in their life. Amen. They believe that they got up this morning because their alarm clock sounded. They believe that they are doing as well as they're doing in school because they're intellectually gifted. They believe that they have the physical things that they have because they've worked hard, they've applied you know, appropriate principles, and are benefiting from the net yield from the application of those principles, that the God factor is not in their life. Amen. And you can never, it's difficult to convince a person, you know, that choose to believe that they're the source of their, you know, of their blessings. They call it good fortune, perhaps, or luck. But it's difficult to convince them that this is the Lord's doing. Amen. For the Bible declares that he's the giver of every good and perfect gift. Now, he says perfect gift. Now, we know the devil can give you some stuff that's good, but it's not God. Now, the things may be good, but please understand that whenever he comes, tell your neighbor, I'm never confused. Come on, let's make sure we get this straight. Tell your neighbor, when the devil comes, I'm never confused about why he comes. Amen. I don't know. Now, he gives you stuff that could be good. And you can see that in Luke 4, when the Bible said that the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He showed him some good stuff. He said, I'm going to give you all this stuff. And that stuff in and of itself would be wonderful things, but not God things. Amen. He said, you're going to gain. All those things were natural, ornate, fleshly or worldly things. But they were not things that would in any way benefit a person from the standpoint of eternal life. Does that make sense? Amen. So know that this is what the text it really deals with, that there are things that we get in our life that sometimes may be good, but it doesn't necessarily have to be God. All right. But the person that believe they made it on their own, you like when mother was talking about her brother, he's got stuff. He's endowed financially. Thank God he's gotten saved. But when a person has money, until you get sick, and even then, you spent 50 years, 80 years believing you made it on your own. Don't come rolling up on me at 80 talking about. I was looking at some numbers years ago about how progressively difficult it is for people to get saved the older they get. If I made it 50 years, now you're going to tell me I need God? Well, I ain't had him for 50 years. Why I need him now? By the way, there was a 5-year-old that gave their life to the Lord that shared with me on yesterday. 5 years old. Now, my daughter was, my firstborn was 6 when she gave her life to the Lord. So it's good. It's progressively more difficult the older we get for us to get saved. Amen. Now, that's just what the numbers suggest. And I believe that because the longer you live believing you're your own God, the less interest you have in the God of the Bible. Because I'm making things happen. I'm the man. Can somebody say the devil is a liar? So what that says is, see, all that stuff, though, is death. That's not life. Because remember, if you're never mistaken about why the enemy comes, we said yesterday, when you see him coming, you know why he's coming. I don't care if he shows up in a red convertible. Huh? Listen, you better know the end of that thing. It don't matter how it starts, you better know what the end of it is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Red convertible, all the things that catch your eye, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You're the rest assured. You may be laughing now, but I promise you, amen. He's going to pull the covers back soon after a while. And we'll get an understanding about the reason why he showed up in our life. He didn't come to bring life. That's why we say he may bring you some good stuff, but it's really not God's stuff. Amen. And listen, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And guess what else it does? But when the devil brings stuff, it always adds sorrow. Unless you happen to be, some type of, narcissistic, person, not just a prideful person. That simply says, that you really, or some, we may call that a sadomasochistic person, a person that loves pain. Unless you're that kind of person, then you don't want to embrace the stuff that the devil brings, because he comes to steal. Amen. You were shouting before, huh? But as soon as you allow the enemy to come into your life, listen, that shout just tends to dissipate. You start feeling more and more comfortable with, days, weeks, and months passing by without you showing any commitment or conviction around lifting your hands in the sanctuary and giving God the glory. Can somebody say the devil is a liar?
The devil is a liar.
Amen. So that's death that the enemy brings. And then whenever we are on our jobs, we start falling into, the world's process of doing things. We start to believe, we buy into the fact that if I can just spread enough rumor about the person on that job that's got my job, then I can eventually discredit them to the point where they're moved out and I'm ready now to move in. Amen. And see, a child of God don't flow like that. Why? Because we believe what the word says. Tell your neighbor, there really is life in the word. Amen. I can't say it enough. The whole time, the 27 years I spent, at Wachovia, I never asked for a promotion. Amen. And I won't say, and I certainly would know that, that there are people, when I entered into the management training program, there were 7 of us. And each one of us, took different tracks during the course of our career. And one of the guys that I was in training with for about 4 or 5 years of my career with the bank ended up, he was my boss. One guy that that we all trained ended up being all of our bosses. You know, but I never hated on folk. I didn't care. I mean, it didn't bother me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, because I just believe that if I did what the Lord said, he would give me what he promised. Are you hearing? I didn't get nervous. And that's how, the history of the career that I had there, it just speaks for itself because it's the Lord's doing. I never asked for a raise. You know, some people roll up, you know, that's all they think about is how much am I going to get paid tomorrow? Well, what you need to do is take care of what you've been assigned today. The Lord said, be faithful over, and he said, I'll make you ruler over many. Ask your neighbor, can you just wait on God? Can you wait on him? But we want to manufacture a blessing. Now, I'm not saying there's something wrong with you asking, all right? I'm not saying that's a problem. I'm just telling you, I never did. Because I know what the Lord, that's the way he set my heart. He told me, all I want you to do, preacher, is you take care of my business, and I'll take care of yours. Can somebody say there's life in the word? Amen. To believe God. And the only reason I said that was just to say this. We don't ever want to get stuck in the world system and believe that the only way that we're ever going to get ahead is by pulling. The only way I'm going to get my next assignment is by pulling somebody that level down. No. You don't have to stand on someone else. You don't have to build your life by pulling somebody else down. If you just glorify God right where you are, God said, I'll bless you. Didn't he say it? The Bible declares this. He says, if you're willing and obedient, he says, you'll eat the good of the land. That's what the word declared. And tell your neighbor, I just believe the word. And listen, and don't misunderstand or don't downplay the power of believing. Because, listen, belief is the thing that I think Deacon and I were talking about this on the way home last night. Yeah, belief is the only thing that will stop you, that will cause you to miss God. Amen? If you don't believe. Now watch as we go through this, how important belief is in standing on what the Lord said. The Bible declared in this text, it's time for me to stop. We're just getting started. It's time. The Lord said it's time for us really to embrace what he has said to us about the word of God, which is there is life. That means that there is a force that God has placed in the word of God to propel us to the level, to the dimension, to the arena that God really wants us to listen, to thrive in, to live in. Amen. That we don't have to stay where we are. If your health is where it is, guess what? God said, I've got more. In Psalm number 68, I think verse number 19, somewhere now, I think he says, he daily loads us with benefits. That means he says, I've got more. No matter where you are right now, the Lord simply says, I got more for you. Amen. Can somebody say, oh yeah, there's life in the word. We started this in Deuteronomy, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and verse 17. He talks about the fact that he put Adam and Eve in the garden. He gave them the power of choice. He said, you can eat from any tree, you want to. But he said in verse number 17, verse 16 says, you can eat from whatever tree you want to eat from. But then he says, but don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Is what he said, verse number 17. He said, but once you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you see that? He said, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, thou shalt not eat of it. Verse 16, he says, eat whatever you want to eat. But verse 17, he says, but don't touch this tree. Tell your neighbor, God's giving you choice. But watch what he does. But then he just simply says, for in the day that you do it, you're going to die. And it just simply says that he's sovereign. He knows that you're going to do the stuff that he told you not to do. For he said, don't do it, but when you do, death is coming. You see that? He says, don't touch the tree, but when you eat of the tree, you're going to die. Amen. Now that doesn't say he's not making a choice for you. He tell you, listen, pay your tithe. All right? But when you fail to pay him... When you disobey me, he said, obey me and pay. Yes. But when you disobey me and not pay, He said, you're going to be devoured. The devourer is going to come. Amen. And a lot of us are facing the devourer because we did exactly what he said he didn't want us to do. Amen. Because he's given us the power of choice. And so we know that choice has been given to us from the foundation of the world. Since way back in Genesis, it was when we said in 8 o'clock, sir, that whenever they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's when the dispensation of innocence ended. Amen. Is whenever we realize there's good stuff and bad stuff, that's when innocence left. Innocence left because you know that it did, because they then realized after they ate of the tree, they realized they were naked. Amen. They didn't know they were naked. They'd been naked all their life. But they didn't recognize it until innocence left. Amen. That's why little babies, they're innocent, aren't they? They can run around in their birthday suit all day. They don't even care. They're just like, whatever. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't try that at home. Amen. You can't do it. I mean, you get arrested for doing crazy stuff like that. Innocence is gone. Jack, you can't do that. There was a person, let me just real quickly, anyway, you know you can't do that, so don't try it. I was just going to share, I knew the lady from South Africa somewhere, where it was customary in that country for people to not wear clothes all the time. And when they moved to the U.S., now certainly the mom knew better, but the daughter, she had a problem with the daughter getting accustomed to not going outside with no clothes on. Amen. But it was a young daughter, so she finally brought her around. So you don't do that here in the States. You get arrested for that. Amen. Listen, but the Lord said, listen, he gave us the power of choice, and he wants us to choose him. And we said, and when you look at what the word says, turn real quickly, and then we'll transition. Turn real quickly to the book of John, St. John chapter 1. Verse number 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. It said all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Do you see that? Amen. And verse 4 says, in him was what? Life. Now the Bible said he's the Word, and in the Word there's life. And he said in verse 4, it says, and that life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so what he says is, listen, the life that he has put in the Word of God has the power to eradicate the darkness. Amen. He said that life is light, and the darkness, you can't, vehemently oppose the light, which is the life that God has put in, that God has in himself, that we have access to. Amen. So when there's darkness in any area of your life, you better know the life that God has put in you has the power to overcome that darkness. Does that make sense to anyone in here? That means that what God has spoken over your life, that no devil in hell can stop what God has initiated for every life that's in this place. If there's darkness where your health is concerned, mothers already testified that God can do some phenomenal things in terms of healing, delivering, and bringing you out of whatever health challenge you have in your life. Amen. When finances are messed up, God can move in that area of your life as well. When relationships are turned upside down, don't tell me that God doesn't have the power to deliver and restore. Amen? He can do that. But listen, but as he's working in that area of our life, the powerful thing is for us, listen to this, just simply knowing that we have the victory, that we have, listen, deliverance in the Word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. The powers is knowing that that is in fact what God has in store for us. And listen, if we can all leave this place today knowing that if we simply had the belief that God can do anything. That's why Mother was sharing the testimony. Amen. Even when it was diagnosed that the brother and Mother and I were on the phone during the time when things were in the ditch, in the tank, and it didn't look good. That was a diagnosis. But listen, God always has the last say because he's sovereign. He's over everything. Well, you tell your neighbor, God is in charge. Amen. So listen, there is nothing that we can assess or assert that God doesn't have the power to do. And I just like because God has given us the ability to choose. Ask your neighbor, what's your choice? Amen. That means I don't have to settle for stuff that the world offers me. Amen. I don't have to settle for the things that life sometimes, listen, brings into my presence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, I don't have to settle.
I don't have to settle.
You know, I've seen people will oftentimes give you what they believe you're going to accept. And that's what the devil do for everybody in this room. If you accept it, he'll deposit it at your door. We got to be like mail, listen, like we do with our mail sometimes. When our mail comes, sometimes we get stuff that don't belong to our house, it belongs next door. So I take it from my house. Listen, I don't open it. Huh? Listen, no, this is not mine. Amen. This goes somewhere else. Tell your neighbor, there's too many things coming in my life that don't belong to my life. Tell him, I'm going to start forwarding all this stuff. Listen, you're going to forward it, even forward it back to where? Listen, return it back to where it came. We used to talk about returning the sender. We got some mail we sure know we didn't want. We took it back down to the post office. We didn't put it next door. Didn't put it in the box. Get it off the yard, out of the property. Take it back to the post office. Here, y'all handle this. Amen. Anybody here ready to choose life that God has given to us? Listen, the Lord said, if you go to 1 Kings chapter 8, you don't have to turn there, but listen, remember that the widow woman that we were preaching about from 1 Kings chapter 1 through 7, talking about when Elijah was being trained for something. Hey, remember that? Then the Lord sent him down by the brook Cherith in that text. But what the Lord said, listen, he wanted Elijah to know that, listen, there's life in what I've declared to you. He said, I'm going to sustain you. Didn't he do it? And he stayed there by the brook until the brook dried up. And when the brook dried up, listen, that was not the end of what God wanted for Elijah. He said, now that you have passed, listen, this wilderness experience, let me take you to another place. I haven't preached that to y'all yet, but let me tell you what he says about that. When you talk about life in the Word, he sent him over to Zarephath. Zarephath was a land of Gentiles. That wasn't even the land of God's people. That wasn't nothing but heathens living in Zarephath. You want me to go to Zarephath and be sustained where all the unbelievers live? Even the Bible said that Jesus couldn't do many miracles because of their unbelief. And here you telling me you want me to go and be sustained in a place where unbelievers live? Touch your neighbor and tell them the Lord will never leave you without what you need for your next miracle. Listen, no matter where God takes you, that's why he will put you in an impossible place to show you that he can do the possible in the midst of the impossible. You looking at the impossibility, but God said that things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Tell your neighbor, I know I'm coming out of this. You better know, listen, you better know that there is life in the Word. And he sent him, listen, to connect with a widow woman. Listen, in Zarephath, the Bible said it's Zarephath of Zidon. And Zidon was the head, listen, was the temple, the principal place for Baal worship. That's where the devil was being glorified. He sent the man of God over to be sustained by a Gentile person in the land of folk that glorified the devil. Tell your neighbor, I can't figure out God. Tell him he ain't for you to figure him out. It's just for you to believe. I told you, if you try to use your intellect, you're going to mess your mind up. Because Amnon already told us, you can't, listen, figure God out. He said, you try to figure him out, you'll lose your mind. But then he said, but if you deny him because you can't intellectually comprise him, he said, you'll lose your soul. So all you need to do is just believe. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to believe what God said. Listen, so God sent him over to the woman in Zarephath. And listen, and when he found this woman that God sent him to, and you know when God sent you someplace, you know how our minds work. You know, we are looking for somebody that's already rolling. That, oh, God. Oh my God, I want to see, listen, six servants show up and bow down with gifts before I get to this person's house, that God has just sent me over to their house to be sustained. They're going to have, listen, an infinity pool in the backyard. Listen, a car with 19 cars in the garage. You know, they're going to have a freezer on every level. Oh, praise God. Listen, they're going to have cable in every room, a tennis court, basketball court. Man, they're going to be rolling. That's the way, you know, our minds will just take us there. They'll have a G5 park in the back. Wherever you want to go, I got you. No, I'm sorry. G5 will be down the way. They have a helicopter to drive you to the G5 before you take off. Tell your neighbor, that's the way God rolls. That's the way he rolls. You know,
don't hear what I'm saying. Listen, but listen, when he showed up, he found the widow woman. He found a woman that's picking up sticks trying to make, listen, a fire so she can cook her last, listen, a whole cake or a piece of bread so she and her son can eat it and die. My God, Elijah, where's the G5? Listen, she don't have anything to help me, and God, you sent me to this. Tell your neighbor, don't try to figure out God. Don't try, listen, but if God sent you there, if God sent you there, remember the blessings of the Lord make it rich and added no sorrow with it. Tell your neighbor, I will trust God. I'm going to trust God. He showed up at that place, y'all. It didn't look like much. Probably didn't feel like much. He had the compulsion, perhaps, to disbelieve what God said, even doubt that God had sent him there. Have you ever gotten a word from God, but the farther you go, the more you doubt, I wonder if I really heard from God. I wonder if that was really God speaking into my life. My God, I've got to reassess and reevaluate what I've been believing up to this point, because it sure don't look like this is where God wants me to be. Touch your name and tell him, if God said it, tell him, I just believe it. I just believe it. And tell him, I'm not taking it back either. I'm not saying, oh, praise the name of the Lord. Why wouldn't I take it back? Because I know there is life in the word. That's why, listen, with some of us, the Lord said, I've healed you. And listen, you keep looking, measuring the symptoms and monitoring the pain and looking at how things appear to be deteriorating. And now you're wondering whether or not God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Don't you measure, listen, God's presence by the power, listen, the magnitude of your present problem. Tell your neighbor, I don't care how big the problem is. Tell him he's still God. Touch two people and tell him he's still God. He's still God. Come on, touch him and let him know that you mean he's still God. Glory to God. Why? There is life. God gave me a word and I'm not taking back. I'm not cowering down. I'm not shrinking back. I'm moving forward to see what God has spoken over my life. Can somebody declare, I will trust in the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I believe that what God said, God's going to do. Come on, celebrate God in this place. My God. Listen. And listen, y'all. And when he got to the widow woman, listen, and she made the cake, you know what the man of God said? I thank God he wasn't nervous. Listen, beyond that point, and you know he's talking to a person that doesn't have, listen, the faith that perhaps he's accustomed to. He's rolled up on this person that's getting ready to die. Remember, y'all, she's already made a decision to die. She don't even care what's going on around her now. She ain't trying to hear no word. She's already decided, I'm not choosing life. I'm choosing death. She had death in her view, death within her psyche, death within her actions, death within her mindset, death within her walk, death within her talk. Glory to God. And then here comes the man of God. Maybe that's why the Lord said in 2 Chronicles 20, he says, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Obey his prophet, and so shall you prosper. The Bible tells me that her surroundings had gotten the best of her. She said, the famine that we're experiencing, and because I don't have a husband right now, I'm preparing to die. Touch your neighbor and tell him you better change your plans, because life has just invaded your presence. Touch your neighbor and tell him it's time to change your plans, because life has just invaded your presence. My God, so when life stepped up in the midst of her situation, and she said, he said, what you getting ready to do? She said, we're getting ready to die. Y'all see the death within her tongue? But my God, here comes a
thank
man
you for
of
listening
God
to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. New Bethel Church of God in Christ, under the leadership of Pastor Tommy A. Murphy and First Lady Doris Murphy, is inviting you out to worship with their congregation at 1520 Little Rock Road, Charlotte, this Sunday for three dynamic services, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. If you want to know more about New Bethel Church of God in Christ, go to our website, www.newbethelchurch.com. Also, if you were inspired by the sermon and wanting to obtain the message in its entirety, call us at 704-391-0365 and let your family, friends, and co-workers know about this podcast by simply logging on to www.praisecharlotte.com. www.newbethelchurch.com on your desktop, laptop, tablet, or smartphone and listen to the Sermon of the Week. In the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, the Word of God declares, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom in all in your getting. Get